Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. Today, I have an extended interview with Ron Rash. He's an acclaimed Southern author, and this is something of a breakout year for him. Rash is a poet, an author of several short story collections, and a two-time winner of the prestigious O. Henry Prize. But it's his novels that have been getting him the most attention lately. Two films are out right now that have been adapted from his novels. One of them is called Serena. It was published in 2008. It's set in the Depression in North Carolina. It's about Serena and her husband, George. They own this logging company, and they're ravaging the Smoky Mountain Forest. It's an environmental tale. It's an epic story. Just to give you a taste of it, here's Ron Rash reading the opening of Serena. This is from a promo video created by one of his publishers.
When Pemberton returned to the North Carolina mountains after 3 months in Boston, settling his father's estate, among those waiting on the train platform was a young woman pregnant with Pemberton's child. She was accompanied by her father, who carried beneath his shabby frock coat a bowie knife sharpened with great attentiveness earlier that morning, so it would plunge as deep as possible into Pemberton's heart.
Ron Rash's novel Serena became a New York Times bestseller. Now it's been adapted into a film directed by Academy Award winner Suzanne Beer. It stars Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence.
What are you doing?
Just came to say hello.
Hello.
George Pemberton.
Serena Shaw.
I think we should be married.
Our future, everything that we talked about, we will lose it.
We promised to tell each other everything.
I didn't want to frighten you.
I'm not that kind of woman.
Serena is going to be in theaters March 27th, and it's available right now on demand on Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play. But Serena isn't the only Ron Rash story that's hitting the big screen this year. Another one of his novels, The World Made Straight, was published in 2007 and has been adapted into a film starring Noah Wyle, Jeremy Irvine, and Steve Earle. It's also available right now on demand. So on the show today, I'm going to be speaking with Ron Rash about Serena, The World Made Straight, and other aspects of his writing career. We're also going to talk about the Celebration of Southern Literature. That event is coming up April 16th through the 18th here in Chattanooga. Rash will be one of many writers attending to meet and greet fans. Ron Rash, thank you for speaking with me today.
Glad to be with you.
So the two films that are out right now based on your books, they're both set in North Carolina. You're actually from North Carolina. You still live there, and you teach at Western Carolina University. What is it about North Carolina, that region, that keeps you there and makes you set so many of your stories there?
It's the landscape I know best. It's a landscape that has been part of my family's heritage for 200 years. That, and I think the aspect of learning early on from the writers I admired, such as Faulkner, certainly, and Joyce, that a writer could write about one place and through that one place find the universal. As Eudora Welty once said, one place understood helps us understand all other places better.
You're actually from the same area as Earl Scruggs. Where is that?
That's Boiling Springs, North Carolina. And he's our claim to fame in that town. And I actually worked for his brother, and Earl would, when I was growing up, would come back for concerts occasionally in town, and that was always a great event.
You're often described as an Appalachian writer, but you seem kind of ambivalent about being described as an Appalachian writer. Why would you be kind of ambivalent about that?
Obviously, I love the region. It's been a huge part of not only my life, but my family's. But I think my concern with that term, as well as Southern writer, is that sometimes it can be perceived as limiting. To me, what makes the best Southern writer, whether it's Faulkner or O'Connor, Welty, is that while they're intensely Southern, their landscape is Southern, ultimately what makes them significant is that they are, while being true to that region, also able to transcend it and to hit the universal, what Faulkner talked about the old verities of love and compassion. And so I see it, that is sometimes my concern, that the implication is that you're just a Southern writer, you're just an Appalachian writer. And the best writers, I think, as I say, are universal.
Two films are out right now based on two of your novels. Was this a planned thing? Is it just coincidence that this is happening right now?
It's coincidence. For years, I've had some film options in the past, but nothing happened. And then suddenly both of these happened relatively quickly. And so, yeah, they're both out.
I want to talk about Serena. The book was published in 2008. It's set in North Carolina in the Depression era. Serena and her husband, George, are destroying the forest, logging it, and they don't care about the environment or workers' safety. The character of Serena herself, she's been compared to Lady Macbeth, caring so much about power and money above everything else. She's really like a force of nature in the book. She's impersonal. She's destructive. When people get in her way, she has no qualms about having them killed. She's just this beautiful, fearless sociopath. And you worked on the novel for 3 years. So for 3 years, you were sharing your headspace, so to speak, with this character. What was it like spending 3 years with Serena?
Pretty frightening. Even as I was making her up, she was kind of a character that kind of certainly scared even me writing about her. But I did hope that there is something in a way darkly charismatic about her. I think readers tell me that there is something that we just can't turn our eyes away from, and that was my hope, that she would be a character that while we may find her deplorable at times, there also is something that draws us toward her.
I definitely think there is. I think some reviewers have almost compared her to a natural disaster. You can't stop looking away, just the sheer destructive power of it. It's very compelling.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. She was a character As I really got into her character, I began to realize that we don't have many characters like her, I think, in American fiction. And so that was part of the challenge, was trying to create a character that might be in some ways different from what we usually expect, and particularly in a book set at that time period.
The film version of Serena stars Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. It's available on demand right now on the internet, and it's going to be in theaters at the end of the month. And you know, when a film is released based on a book, there's always that question of, should you see the movie, then read the book? Should you read the book first? In my opinion, just my personal opinion here, I'd say for Serena, definitely read the book before you see the movie, because the film version changes some pretty significant plot points in it. As the writer of the novel, how much input did you have onto the film version and some of the changes that were made?
I didn't have any, actually. I stayed out of it with both films, and I did that by choice. I just feel like that's not something I know how to do. I'm not a screenwriter. I'm not a director, and I suspect that, from what friends have told me anyway, that have had movies made, they wouldn't listen to me anyway. So better to spend my energy on another story or maybe another novel.
Some writers can be almost disdainful when Hollywood adapts their novels into TV shows or into movies. Other writers really celebrate it, and they invite people to, you know, go ahead and take those characters and take them in new and different directions. How do you feel about that? Do you welcome kind of people changing your original vision?
I'm not sure that I welcome it, but having a movie made of one of my novels or of any novel is that it brings the best thing is that it brings new readers to the book that would not have read it otherwise, and that certainly has happened with Serena, and to me that's the best part, and then it's up to the reader to decide whether the film is successful or not, and successful not just in merely being an adaptation, but does it work because of its differences? Because it doesn't follow the book as much, that it is a visual medium.
In the film version of Serena, they try to give her a bit more of a backstory and kind of explain her motivations, whereas in the book, again, she seems more like a force of nature. Do you think that maybe there were some clues as to her motivation and backstory that you put in the book, but maybe readers didn't always get or see?
Well, I left it very ambivalent. In a sense, the reader really has a choice of believing Serena's story that her family was destroyed by a flu epidemic, or that perhaps she burned up the house with them in it. But I think one aspect of evil characters is I think they're much more interesting if we can't simply have a cause and effect for their evil. I mean, for instance, if I say Serena got beaten by her father severely when she was 3 years old, then the reader might say, well, that explains why she's this way. But to me, evil's much more mysterious than that. It's not always that easy to explain someone like a Stalin or a Hitler, you know, in that kind of way. I think there's something beyond just cause and effect there, and that's what's so frightening to us, that people can be that way.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Ron Rash. He's the author of several poetry collections, several short story collections, as well as five novels. A couple of those novels have been adapted into films. One is Serena. The other one is called The World Made Straight. That story is set in the 1970s in North Carolina. It's about a school teacher who loses his job and becomes a drug dealer. He befriends a 17-year-old high school dropout, and still acting like a teacher, he teaches this young man about hidden history within their small town, old feuds that date back to the Civil War. It's a haunting story about escaping the past, escaping small-town life, growing up, and a legacy of violence.
Violence begets violence. It's like a sickness. It just gets passed on from one generation to the next.
Your daddy never talked to you about any of this?
He's a teacher. Your buddy. His mama's great-granddaddy helped kill off nearly half your kin, but I guess he didn't mention that, didn't he?
I would say that film, much more so than Serena, stays pretty faithful to the book version of it. David Burris directed it, and you've got some connections to David Burris. What are those connections?
Oh, well, interesting that we actually lived in Boiling Springs together several years, and our families have known each other even longer than that. And so there was it was very serendipitous that we came together on this project. And once again, as I say, I did not really have anything to do with the manuscript or the screenplay, but I think David, really being from North Carolina, was able to capture some of the nuances that a director from another region would miss. And I thought particularly what was impressive in the movie was the accents.
Well, yeah, because the movie version of The World Made Straight was actually filmed in North Carolina, whereas Serena was filmed in Prague, very far away from North Carolina.
Yeah, and it made a difference, I think. Unfortunately, I think people who make movies have to make economic decisions as well as artistic ones, and certainly David was able to find ways that he could create that movie in a less expensive way than it would have taken to create a movie such as Serena.
Steve Earle, the character that Steve Earle plays, I thought he was just a brilliant casting choice for the character because he plays kind of a redneck gangster who is just a renowned singer, and Steve Earle played that part so well. What did you think of Steve Earle in that role?
Oh, yeah. I've been a huge admirer of Steve Earle for years, and so I was just thrilled when I heard that he was playing the role of Carlton Toomey, and I agree, I thought he did an excellent job, and particularly when he sang in the movie, I thought that was very haunting.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, I'm traveling through this world of woe. There is no sickness, toil, or danger in the bright land to which I go.
Serena is this huge epic tale with lots of violence, and the fate of a whole forest is at stake in the novel, whereas The World Made Straight is a more personal tale. It's much more of a quiet story for people, and I imagine there's going to be a lot of people because of these two movies who are going to be reading these two novels back to back. Could you just kind of talk about the differences between the two of them?
I agree. I think the World Made Straight certainly touches on some, I think, universal themes and important themes, particularly how it is that people who have been neighbors and close for generations, whether in Somalia or Germany or wherever, can suddenly turn on each other. So, but in many ways, it is more a coming of age story. It's a story of a young man coming to adulthood and learning how to be a man. And so, in some senses, it is a more individual story as opposed to a story about essentially the fight to achieve a national forest.
In The World Made Straight, you write about the idea that landscape is destiny, how a sense of place can shape our lives. In Appalachia, particularly, this sense of being closed in by the mountains. And in the story, all the characters say they need to escape the town in order to have better lives. But it seems like now with the internet, it's possible to live in one area and yet not necessarily be as influenced by that area. You can get online and spend the whole day working and socializing with people halfway across the world. How do you think that the internet and this very recent technology is changing that idea of landscape is destiny?
That's an interesting question, and for me, in some ways, a troubling one, because you could almost argue now that the landscape is within the screen more than outside of it. Sometimes when I watch people with their cell phones or their computers, that it seems as if they're oblivious to the world they live in. So perhaps we are at a place where physical landscape is less imposing or less, and sometimes less soothing, perhaps, than it would be at an earlier time.
You teach at Western Carolina University. What are some of the changes you've seen in your students? You know, students are very technologically savvy. What are you seeing in them with this idea of maybe losing their heritage, losing the landscape around them?
I'm very pleased because very often I find my students, some of my students, resisting that. It's good to see that, the fact that they're willing to immerse themselves in a novel or even the idea of writing a novel or writing a short story. Yet at the same time, sometimes as I walk across campus, it seems that almost all the students are looking at their cell phones and texting, and I hope that, and what I fear with that is just the sense of limited attention spans, and I think that could be unfortunate, not just for literature, but also for a democracy, because very often the kinds of questions that are important in a democracy are complex, and they need an attentiveness and an ability to concentrate that often can't be found in a 30-second soundbite.
That's a really good point, yes. I mean, particularly with news, it's often much easier on the internet to get national, international news than it is to just get local news and find out what's happening in your own community.
Yes, and also just as I say, that so often issues, important issues in any society, or so often complex and have to be really thought out carefully.
Your latest short story collection called Something Rich and Strange was published in late 2014. What's interesting about some of those stories is they often end on an ambiguous note, or they'll end very abruptly. For example, in one of the stories called Speckle Trout, it ends with the main character wounded and he's in this very dangerous situation, but you don't explicitly spell out the character's fate. How do you know when to do that versus maybe a novel like Serena, which ends with a very definite idea of how everything turned out for all the characters?
Well, I think that's the challenge of the short story, is to give the reader a sense, very often just giving the reader a kind of brief, sometimes very a matter of hours in a character's life, and yet nevertheless leaving the reader satisfied that the narrative is complete. And even when it seems ambiguous at the end, my hope as a short story writer is that the reader has a sense that something of this character's essence has been realized, or in a sense that there a moment has been found in the character's life that can reveal much of what that character's been and much what that character will be, a kind of defining moment. So that's part of the hope, and some of the stories are not, you know, do have a more you know, completed arc to them. But what the short story does, I think, is that it allows us, it's almost like walking into a house and walking through it, as opposed to a novel where the reader pretty much just sits down and lives in that house for a while.
How do you know when you're done? How do you know that it's time to end the story right there with that specific sentence, with that specific paragraph?
Well, that's always intuitive. It's that sense that whatever I wanted to convey about this character to the reader, that I've done that. And that sometimes, you know, short stories are like life. We don't know exactly where they will go. And I think sometimes in short stories that can not necessarily be, that's not necessarily a weakness. That, in a sense, as I said, the characters, we've gone with the character to a certain place. Perhaps we've had some revelation as well as the character, perhaps. And we're satisfied. We've made that visit, and we feel like we've gotten what we need.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Ron Rash. He's the author of Serena, The World Made Straight, several other books. You're also a member of the Fellowship of Southern Writers, and you're going to be here in Chattanooga for the Celebration of Southern Literature in mid-April. As a reader, I really love the Celebration of Southern Literature because it's this chance to meet writers and attend all these interesting panels on different subjects. But as a writer, what do you get out of being there?
Oh, well, a sense of kinship, certainly the sense of feeling honored to be included in such a group that has had so many writers that have been important to me, such as Robert Penn Warren and Eudora Welty, Walker Percy. I could go on, of course. And a chance to see friends, my fellow writers, writers that very often I don't get to see except at this event. So that's always nice. And it's also nice to meet the people who come out, the people who love Southern literature and read our books and support us.
In terms of your writing routine, I've heard you're a very, very disciplined writer, and that's very necessary just in terms of getting better and creating output. But beyond discipline, what are some things a writer needs to do to not only sit down and write every day, but to continuously improve as you keep writing?
Well, the crucial aspect, I think, is to continue to read people who are better than you are, and I certainly do that. I go back to writers again and again, the ones that I truly love, Faulkner, Joyce, Dostoevsky, Shakespeare, and they inspire. I mean, sometimes it's easy to look at their work and say, well, why am I even bothering because it's so good? But ultimately, it inspires more than it depresses me, and it makes me want to work harder, to write better. And so I think that's a big aspect of it. And for me personally, it's something that I feel that my family for several generations worked very hard to put me in a situation where I would be expected to go to college, unlike my parents and certainly my grandparents, and that to have been given this opportunity to write I should take advantage of it because it's an opportunity that has come because of the hard work of people in my family for several generations.
Being from Appalachia, do you come from a family, a history of storytellers?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, certainly I listened to stories when I grew up, and I think that has been important in some ways. But there are times when I'm a little bit, once again, kind of ambivalent about that because, it comes with the idea that Southern writers, you know, just got lucky and they got to hear a lot of good stories when they were growing up. And that doesn't, I think, honor or recognize the fact that every Southern writer I know is a voracious reader. Has read Shakespeare, has read Dostoevsky, you know, that we read those people and we learn from them. It's not just like we're savants, you know, who got hit by lightning and suddenly had the ability to tell an interesting story. But as I say, I'm of two minds, like I am a lot of things about this, because I did grow up with people who loved not just to tell stories, but to tell them in a way that where the language was important, the craft of a good story being told.
I've heard some people say if you want to be a writer, you should write what you know. I've heard other people say if you want to be a writer, you should write what you're very passionate about. And that's what's going to really keep you going day after day, even when the words aren't coming. What are you passionate about that you've been writing about?
Oh, well, I think sometimes my curiosity leads me into areas that I don't know about, but I become passionate about. For instance, in Serena, once I decided I was going to have her hunt rattlesnakes with an eagle, I did a huge amount of research and just became very, maybe obsessed is too strong a word, but definitely fascinated at all that that encompassed, you know, to get an eagle, to train an eagle, to do such a thing, to what kind of eagle would be the best hunting eagle in the world. And so I think sometimes my curiosity and my imagination lead me into areas where I become very, very interested, and some of that will come through in the books, I hope.
When you're writing a character like that, I mean, unless you're channeling spirit voices or something, the character is ultimately coming from a part of you, maybe somewhere in your unconscious or maybe based on other literature that you've read, Greek myths, things like that. Where do you think Serena came from inside you?
Well, that's interesting. Fortunately, not, I think, from personal experience. But yeah, I mean, there's certain characters in literature I've always been fascinated with. Medea, certainly Lady Macbeth, though I do think Serena is much tougher than Lady Macbeth. I think she may be more like Goneril in King Lear. But I think that's one of the interesting aspects about writing is that these characters, where they come from, the writer doesn't really know, but maybe it's good that if they are indeed in some place in him or her that the writer's able to get them out.
You mentioned Rachel. She's a character in the book and in the film, and particularly in the book, she has a pretty big role. She's someone who has been wronged by Serena and her husband, George, and she's a very sympathetic character. Was it kind of a conscious choice on your part to try to include a sympathetic character to contrast with Serena's just sociopath behavior?
Not at first, and actually through seven or eight drafts, Rachel was a very, very minor character, actually just showing up in about the first 30 pages of the book. But as I got deeper and deeper into the book, I realized that she was compelling me to tell her side of the story. And I think in some ways she was a kind of balance to Serena, and not just in the sense of creating a character that the reader could sympathize with, and that certainly is important, but I think more just to be true to the world, because in reality we very often have truly evil people. History has shown us that, certainly continues to But there are also people who are good and brave and will always fight against that evil. Not just Serena, but Rachel, but in the novel, but the sheriff as well.
You've written short stories, you've written poetry, you've written novels. What's on the plate next? Is it going to be another novel, another short story collection?
I've got a new novel that will be out in September. And so that's the new thing, though I will also at that time have a selected poetry, new and selected poems out, both in September, it looks like. And those will be my two latest projects.
Have they picked the title of the novel yet?
They have, or I have.
You have.
It's called Above the Waterfall.
And with the poetry, can you really switch back and forth, or do you have to just kind of do one at a time, poetry, then fiction?
I just one at a time. It's amazing how, and in a way it's been a little bit disturbing. I haven't been able to write much poetry the last few years, and obviously I've been writing fiction, but even when I want to write poetry, I find that I'm just not on that frequency.
What puts you on that frequency? Is it something you can control?
I don't know. I think part of it may be that when I've done most of my poetry writing, I've been reading primarily poetry. I mean, I've immersed myself in it, the reading and the writing of it both. And in the last few years, I've been writing so much fiction that I just haven't seemed to be able to fall back into that other mode. But that's okay. I mean, that part of it may be that what I wanted to say in poetry, at least for now, I've done. I've said it, and what's compelling me now is to say certain things in the short story form or the novel form.
You'll be here for the celebration of Southern literature. Do you like meeting fans? Are you the kind of writer people can just walk up to and start a conversation with?
I hope so. I hope I am. I mean, I tend to be an introvert, and because of my writing, I tend not to get out much. but I do like to occasionally get out, particularly at an event like this. And it is wonderful to have people interested in the work, people who've read the work. For many years, no one was interested, and I always remember that.
Ron Rash, thank you so much for talking with us today. Is there anything else you want to say or talk about?
I just look forward to my visit. I always enjoy this event, and I think it's will be the highlight of my spring.
I think it will be the highlight of many, many people's spring as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Serena, based on the novel by Ron Rash, is scheduled to hit theaters March 27th. You can also find it right now on demand on Amazon, iTunes, and Google Play. The film The World Made Straight is also available on demand on streaming, and that's based on his novel of the same name as well. And he'll be here in Chattanooga for the 2015 Celebration of Southern Literature, which takes place April 16th through the 18th in downtown Chattanooga. That event is open to the public. Many, many Southern writers will be there. You can find the schedule and more information at southernlitalliance.org. For WUTC, I'm Michael Edward Miller.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.